Happy New Year! It's awesome. If you don't mind, if you'll stand with me. And now this is, let's not get too carried away on this, but we need to get somewhat carried away. You ready? I want you to find somebody near you, and I want you to give them a great big hug, and I want you to tell them, may God bless your new year. Come on, come on, pray, work on it. Come on, big old hug. If you sat next to the young lady you wanted to meet today, consider that a bonus to worship today, all right? All right, wonderful, man, wonderful. Okay. I knew y'all would get carried away with hugging. I love it. All right, let's pray. I'm going to give you one word. I'm going to give you this one word. This is the word of motion. It's the word of 2012. For the next four Sundays, you're going to hear this word over and over and over and over and over. And so I'm going to ask that God would communicate to you in the next 5 weeks what this means for your particular life. Okay, your particular part of this action. Move. It's time to move. To allow God to move in such a way in our lives individually. You know what happens when God moves in a bunch of people individually? Eventually they call that a movement. But you never have movement until you have move. Some of you today will be moved to receive Christ for the first time. Some of you will be moved to step up the first year and say, you know what? I'm going to get that baptism taken care of. I'm going to stand up. I'm going Jesus up in a big way. But let God have your experience. And that's this New Year's challenge. Move. Move with Christ. Move. What? Move. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that you're a God that is moving. Lord, I thank you that you have already seen all of 2012 and know its ins, its outs, its ups, its downs, its rounds and bouts. However, Lord, we haven't. And so, Lord, as we come into that, as we come into a new year, as we step into a new day, as we do every day, I pray that you will bless us and teach us and that we would be responsible in being faithful to who you have made us to be. Because we know in that, great things can happen. So in the name of Jesus, may we move. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for being here today. Y'all give yourselves a hand. You made it here on Sunday, the first day of the new year. Now, I told the 8 o'clock crowd, I was really proud of them. They got here at 8 o'clock on New Year's Day. But really, the 9:30 crowd, that's like being here at 8 o'clock on a New Year's Day. I told the 8 o'clock crowd, they've either quit partying or they partied all night long and just came on to church. It was one of the two. But I think the real celebration is, guess what? You and I get to live every day in the motion of God. Now, I want to give you, we move what? Not forward. See, that's an earthward deal, okay? So I'm going to ask you to go to Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to expose you to some things, okay? I want to expose you to some things. Now, many of you were baptized in 2011. I'm excited about that. I'm excited that you're in Christ. Now, here's what I want you to know. Nobody can take that away. Do you understand that? Nobody can take that away. Why? Anybody got anything? Come on, y'all tell me. It's New Year's Day. What do you think? Why can't people take your salvation away? They didn't give it to you. Is that right, Chris Allen? And you didn't earn it. How many of y'all realize, have we made clear on that yet, that you cannot earn your salvation? By the way, I go over that every Sunday. And here's the reason I go over that every Sunday. Where do we live? America. Okay, good. Let's start there. Bring it on in from Google Earth there, a little more pointedly. Where do we live? No trick question. Where do you live? We're in Bowling Green, South Central Kentucky. In South Central Kentucky, for many years, here's what we've been taught. And it wasn't, watch this. We've been taught more goodness than we have godliness. That's what came out of our pulpits. If you're a good girl, then God will love you. And, you know, if you don't do things that are disgusting, then God will receive you. And if you behave, then God's with you. And if you misbehave, God leaves you. That's where that's a false teaching. Here's what God did. He said, guess what? We're all sinners. We've all blown it. We've all messed up. And we need Jesus Christ in our lives. So here's what happens. Instead of us being earthly designed now, for those of us in this room in Christ, we are heavenward bound. You see the difference? Instead of earthly designed, now we are heavenly what? bound. So guess what? What you've created and what I've created and even what we've created is not as great as what God could create. Would you agree? That was awful weak. Yay or nay? Yay. Now, let's think about a new year. I don't know what it'll look like because we haven't been in a new year yet. But can you imagine if every one of us in this room just surrendered? We'll have 51 Sundays left. We surrendered 51 Sundays and said, Lord, here's my life. You've saved me. You love me. You lead me. And I just want to be obedient to the things that you call me to do week after week. I wonder what this year would look like. You know what I find? This is just my findings. A lot of us want to do something great. And really what we need to do is just be faithful to what we're supposed to do. That make sense? I mean, we want to go chase the glory. And here's what's so amazing. The glory's already in you. If you read Scripture, you ain't got to go chase nothing. John Paul, I remember that book. I know it wasn't, but God Chasers, just the title. I don't have to chase God. In fact, how do you chase God? God can run away from me. I'm not fast enough to keep up with God. I'm not smart enough to keep up with God. But what they were saying in that book, I want to chase an experience. Well, God's not an experience. He's forever. He's personal. It's not about what he gives us. It's about who he is. Does that make sense? And he is God. How many of you are glad to go into the new year and he is God? He is God. He is God. And what he's got going on, watch this. What he's got going on in us is better than what I can get going on by myself. Now, go to Philippians 3. There's a guy that understands this. His name's the Apostle Paul. All 2011, who've we begun to see the latter part of the year? You've been through preaching here, Gospel of Acts, okay? Truth of Acts. We've hit this character. Remember Saul Paul. Saul Paul. The Saul who became the Paul. And here's the conclusion he came to. He said, where I come from and what I've done is not half of what God can do in me. Where I come from, that sounds like a country song, doesn't it? And what I've done is not as great as what God can do. So, Judy, you know what I'm waiting for? I wonder what God could do with all of us. And so if I wonder what God can do with all of us, guess what? We got to start with each one of us. So here's all I'm asking you to do in the new year. Just be who you are in Christ. I trust that. And here's what I know everybody's got to do. What would happen in this church? Everybody brings one person, invites one person to heaven, and everybody has one person received just for this year. What do you think? Now, let me ask y'all a question. Does this seem like I'm being a little overbearing? One person in 365 days. Anybody here in sales? Anybody here in sales? I mean, you have to make a living selling stuff. Two people, that's it? Three people? No wonder the economy's going to hell. Okay, look at here. Look at here. We only got three salesmen in the whole church. Look at here. If you have to sell stuff, can you imagine if your sales manager in the morning or Tuesday, whenever you get started looking, said, here's what I want you to do today. I want you to secure one contract for the year. You know what you would call that company? Non-existent in 2013. But you know what I'm going to ask you to do? Invite somebody to heaven. And I want you to get serious about that. See, you all think I'm going to let off of this. I'm telling you, some of you Bible study teachers, I know y'all are doing it, but you all don't believe me, do they, Charles? They don't think I'm serious. Eric, you've been a student in some of our classes. They don't believe I'm serious. I expect you and your wife to win two people to the Lord this year. What do you think about that? And your daughter, that's three for your family. Because you all are all what? Followers of Christ. Charles, you've got a whole tribe, so this ought to, between you and Eric alone, this section ought to be fuller by 2013. Now hold on. If we started caring for people like that, tell me what would go on. I don't know about you all. I have not changed my mind. I'm real simple. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I mean, it's that simple. You know, General, I wish I could make it more complicated so I could write me a sophisticated book and retire early. But no. When I read the Bible, when I get to the bottom line, when I get over to the end of the book of Revelation, Sheriff, guess what it says? We win in the end. And so I want everybody to win. Y'all okay with that? Louisville didn't win yesterday, did they? Lord have mercy. Poor Patino. Now there's a man. He better get him a new priest. I'm telling you. They can't hit a shot for love nor money. I don't think they can pray one in. And you know who I had to watch that game with? Glazy. Glazy had on UK hairband, UK shirt, socks, UK rings. I looked at her and I said, she has a disease. My daughter has been affected by this disease. Now she's UK all the way. And guess where I was yesterday? A UK fan. I just, well, that's who I rooted for. Glazy goes, we won. I said, we did. Feels good. She goes, Dad, they beat Louisville. I said, I know. I said, you should have beat Louisville. If you hadn't beat Louisville today, you needed to cry. She said, why? I said, they couldn't hit a shot. Did you notice that, Carrie? They couldn't hit one. I mean, it's over. They shot a basketball like I shot the basketball, and that's why I never played basketball. I never could get the little ball to go in a little hoopy thing. That's why I played football. No hoopy things. Just two goalposts. A lot of room in that, in between that situation, see? Well, let's look. God wants us to win. How many of y'all glad to know God wants us to win? God wants you to be saved. God wants to forgive you. God wants to move in your life. How many of y'all believe those things? Here's what I wanted to show you today. You and I must make the decision if we want to see the greater things of God to move heavenward, and we're going to have to leave a little earthward behind. The third chapter of Philippians, Paul goes and he tells us that the things of this world, the things of the flesh, what we give credentials to, what we consider cred, will not last. Now, Paul's a sharp guy. I want to clear up some Paul stuff. I remember I used to hear people, well, now the Apostle Paul got a calling. This dude was incredibly smart. He'd been to the best schools. He's got a sharp mind. He's an intellect. Okay, he wasn't like this old dude that fell off the back camel hump and hit his head and got a calling to preach. All right, that's not Paul. Paul's born in the right family. He was a Jew, so there's his ethnic background. And he was from the tribe. It's just a little more special than the others. How many of you all have more than one in your family? I mean, got your mom and dad. Any of y'all got some brothers and sisters? If y'all notice how one of the brothers and sisters always gets treated just a little more special. How many of y'all notice that? In my family, they say it's me. But I don't think that's true. I think sometimes you just stand above others no matter what you do. That's what I tell my brothers and sisters. You know, I told them that this Christmas. They used to nickname and they'd laugh and they'd call me the chosen one. When Elizabeth and I first got married, they'd go, Mom, the chosen one has returned home. And I would come in, I said, everything I know, Mom and Dad, that y'all cry every day since I've gone. When you look at these other three and realize that's all left, I'd cry too. I tell them stuff like that, you know. But, sometimes it's just, you know, you like some other kids better than others. True? Now, you don't, if your kids are sitting with you, you don't have to verify, but just inside go, yeah, that's right. I mean, how many of y'all noticed my parents were smiling a lot when I left home? That clued me in. This is a true story. You know what my dad did? He took Elizabeth up to my bedroom. It's a true story. I'm not making this up. Opened the door of my room. He said, we've tried all his life to straighten this up. Now, there it is. There's the truth of it right there. Look at it real hard. Because when I close this door and you walk downstairs and you agree to take him out of here, he is never coming back. Do you understand that? You know, it's very lawyer type way. He said, now, Elizabeth, right now, you can walk down these stairs and you can live free, free, free. But if you walk out with him, I don't know what to tell you. I tell her it's been the most 27 years of blessing has followed her life every day. Yeah, God. Now, no. Paul comes from the right family, tribe of Benjamin. Remember, you had Joseph the favorite? You could even say this about Paul. He wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth, but he was born from a silver cup. He was born where the money flowed. And Paul comes to this conclusion. Go with me to chapter 3, verse 8. In the tribe of Benjamin, he's a Pharisee. He's made good decisions. He's lived it out right. You would have looked at Paul and said, that's a successful man. But it wasn't enough. Now, I want to just start there. Our success is not enough. How many of y'all found that to be true? How many of y'all graduated from the right school, got the right degree, got into the right career, and there was still something missing? kept getting, you know, even this, you made money, made money, made money, made money. And the dream wasn't working. You know why so many Americans get depressed? The dream doesn't work. You know, you get your wife, your 2.5 kids, the dog, the house, boom, you get in there and something's missing. Well, guess what it is? Earthward's not enough. Really deep down inside, you and I have been called heavenward. But to go heavenward takes Jesus. Does that make sense? So it's kind of weird. I got to surrender to go. Now, that's not in our motion, is it? We think we got to do what? We got to do something to get there. Well, heaven, you got to receive Jesus to get there. Does that make sense? And a lot of us are confused. Well, Pastor Steve, I'm a good man. I'll tell you what, I don't smoke on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Now, Tuesday and Thursday, I sneak a couple. But, you know, Pastor Ayers, now I don't cuss. Well, out loud. And most of you come from a Baptist and Methodist background, so you don't drink in public. But I notice that's been changing, you know. I heard reports the other day there was a Methodist and Baptist in the liquor store, and they mentioned each other by name while they were there. Things are liberating. See, we got all these crazy rules, and you know what we miss? The godly life. And Paul said this, I've done some things well. If you look into my life, you want to compare resume to resume, I got a weighted resume, but it's not enough for a heavenward life. And he says this, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. What? My Lord, for whose sake I've lost what? All things. I consider them rubbish, garbage, or there's some other words that fit there, that I may gain what? Christ. Now, how many of y'all glad that Christ has come into you? Well, I just want to give you a heads up. Good. Half of you. Now, guess what? If you were really to see hell, every one of you'd be up shouting right now. Thank God I don't have to go there. Any of y'all appreciative that we don't have to go to hell? I want you to remember that. Some of y'all need to wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I don't have to go to what? That's great. I don't have to go to hell. To me, that's good news. Now, I know for some of you guests who go to politically correct churches, y'all are upset that I said hell. Well, it ain't Hades. You ain't going to Hades. That's Disney. It's a small, small world. This is reality. It's hell. How many of y'all have ever seen hell? Anybody married? I've seen people marry hell. I've seen them date hell. I've seen them go get hell. Hell will come to you. True or false? Come on, I'm just telling the truth. Why do y'all give me that look like, man? I can't believe you're talking about hell like that. But I'm telling you the what? Why do you resist the truth? The truth is, God doesn't want you to go there. Paul said, even though I have a great resume, all I could do is move toward hell. But Christ, in his grace that's more than amazing, has taken me out of destruction and placed me heavenward. And I know I've told some of y'all this 1,000 times, and you still think you're going to make it on your own merit. You see, when we receive Christ, guys, here's the good news here. We are reborn. We're reborn. That's why a lot of our friends here at Hillview that have struggled, our brothers and sisters, people that are wired, even like your pastor, how many of y'all are wired to be addicted? I am. I'm wired to it. Hey, listen, it don't matter what it is. Snickers. I'm on Snickers right now. Snickers. Cookies, Oreos. I can do anything. So, I mean, if you put something in front of me like Bud Light, that's really dangerous. Because they alter your what? Mine, I had to choose between evils. Snickers alters your belly, which alters your britches. You see, anything that surpasses God alters us. But what does God do? He rebirths us into a new position. You all have heard me in some of the groups we do where we allow the Lord Jesus Christ to overcome addictions in our lives. And people will say, well, Pastor Steve, I'm an addict. And I go, wrong. You're not. Well, I was born I said, you may have been born an addict, but you weren't reborn an addict. And they go, well, what am I? I said, you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ with a weakness to this addiction. But the addiction doesn't define you. Christ does. See, Paul didn't say, hello, I'm a religious zealot who had some people murdered. He says, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what I had gained is nothing like what Christ had gained in me. Well, I want to give you three things we need to lose. Don't we talk about losing at the first of the year? How many of y'all talk about losing at the first of the year? Losing. We the Ayers family's got a big event coming up in life here in May. So we got a wedding that's going on. Blake's going to get married, which makes me feel crazy old. And he wanted me to stand with him. Well, he's got young guys that are in shape standing with him. And I thought to myself, self, you're going to look like a big old fat father standing right up there. So I asked him, I said, y'all ain't going to get no cummerbunds for them tuxes, are you? I hate cummerbunds. Don't you men hate cummerbunds? Why do you need to accept that is growing? You know what I mean? I thought, man, I'm going to have to get me a cummerbund that like sucks some stuff in here. Well, guess what I really knew I got to do? In fact, my wife says things to me that I'd never say to her. Didn't y'all have that same problem at the house? She looked at me and she said, have you given any consideration that you might change your dieting first year? She said, we got that wedding coming. You're going to stand up there and look awful big if you don't get calmed down. Now, I want you to know, if I'd said that to her, she wouldn't have talked to me the whole year, 2012. True? Isn't that right, man? I mean, I've never looked at my wife and said, honey, I'm going to tell you what. That dress is filling out. I ain't never said that. And if any of you young couples ever say that to your wife, you dumb. Don't ever say things like that. You can say that to men, you know what I mean? Don, if I looked at you and said, Don, you looking healthy, what would you say? Thank you. You say that to her, you in the doghouse for 7 weeks, okay? See what I'm saying? You learn these things. Now, Paul said we got to lose some things. I want to give you three things. If these are in you, I want to pray as we come to the altar today, you'll lose them for the glory of Christ, for the movement of God in you. Okay? You'll lose these things for the movement of God in you. First of all, if you're a bitter person, leave that in 2:11. Bitterness, man. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I need three things for Sunday. You know, it's New Year's. And he said, well, he said, Ayers, listen. He said, I have to help you all the time. You know, when God sometimes speaks to me, I can feel the Holy Spirit when he looks at me. He just looks at me like, you a really simple guy. You one of our, I'm not one of God's quickest kids. You know what I mean? I said, Lord, I need three things. And he said, well, think about the three things you heard through your whole ministry that kill people all the time. It slow them down. First of all, bitterness. Let it go. He said, well, Brother Steve, you don't understand. Somebody hurt my feelings. I want you to raise your hand if your feelings have ever been hurt. Let me give you some good New Year's cheer. Get over it. Goodness. Everybody's feelings have been hurt. I said, well, I want to be politically correct. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You know why we got to be politically correct? Because we refuse to be forgiven. You know why we got to be politically correct? Because we refuse to turn to Jesus. And guess what we're going to find out? We're going to find out what we've made up isn't half as good as what God's already given. Yeah. You can't even say a joke anymore without getting sued. Elizabeth looks at me all the time. She said, honey, they're going to put you on YouTube and you're going to be done. You are going to be on Fox News. I said, I hope I am. Better yet, I want to be on The View. You think they got up when Bill O'Reilly was on there last year? Son, they had run when I got a hold of them, including Bob Wada. We are scared to tell truth. You know why? Truth sets you free. So let go of bitterness, man. Let go. That's the truth. Let go of it. You say, well, Pastor, people have been mean to me. They were mean to Jesus. I want you to hear today Jesus saved you. Let it go. Let it go. Now, I'm going to give you another thing you need to lose. How many of you all are always predicting the future? Yeah. Other than you, Chris. Chris, don't even raise your hand, all right? I mean, you know, chance of snow on Christmas. It was 85 degrees. I mean, Elizabeth laid out Christmas morning. What's the deal? I just kidding, Chris. I'm just kidding. I mean, you got a job where you... But Chris, isn't it hard to predict the future? Absolutely. Especially the what? Weather. Nobody knows what the... Especially when you live in Bowling Green. Nobody knows what the weather's going to be like. True? And how many of y'all get so mad at Chris when he's wrong? You know what I've come to do? I've come, watch this. I've just come to expect Chris to be wrong. And so I just leave that bitterness alone and what? Rejoice in my brother. Amen. I love it. I told him, I said, Chris, you got a tough job because you see, I'm absolutely sure of my future and you have to depend on Doppler radar. And Jesus doesn't fluctuate. It does. But here's what I'm talking about. How many of y'all need to lose your predicting fate on others' lives? Quit telling God what he's going to do and how he's going to do it and where people are limited. Get rid of your prediction and start following Jesus. Don't tell me who can change, who can't change. Guess what Jesus said? Anybody could. Hello? Anybody could. Everybody could. Anybody could. Everybody could. Whosoever will, there it will be. So lose that predictability. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Quit looking at other people and thinking they're going to fail. Start looking at other people and say, you know what? We're going to celebrate together on how to live. That's the movement of God in our lives. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Have y'all been around those people always predicting on others? You know, well, they'll never change. You know, they'll never change. People said Elizabeth and I would never stay married. But I think I fought a good fight and she stayed with me in spite of the difficulties I've had. No, they look at Elizabeth and they say, I can't believe you're marrying him. They'd say it in front of me. Old church women. You know who I'm talking about? Y'all seen them old church women? Well, I don't think it'll work. Well, baby, the reason your husband died with a smile was the reason. He's like, Lord, come get me. I'm done. When death do us part, he didn't know it'd be sweet. I mean, let's quit living like that. Quit telling other people. I got to preach a minute. You and I need to quit telling other people what God can do. Let him be God. And so you know what I want the Lord to do? Watch this. If we would just pledge to each other, Mr. Logie, I want God to do everything great in your life that he can. You see, if we started instead of predicting, started proclaiming, then you see a movement of God. So quit predicting. Quit predicting it on your own life. Quit telling the Lord what he can and cannot do with you. Y'all been through that once. I've told you all this before. Y'all been through that church service where the little girl gets up to sing and tells you she can't sing. How many of y'all wanted to yell out, sit down? I want to do that my whole life. You know, they get up here and say, well, now I can't sing, but the Lord's giving me this song. I said, he ain't giving it to you if you can't sing. Y'all have been through that church service. You know, she's usually the daughter of the chairman of the deacons who'd been there for 125 years. And here she goes, one day, and the first word you get, by gosh, she didn't lie. She can't sing. But then she said it was going to be a blessing. It wasn't. You know why? She can't sing. But you know what? I bet she can do something. Here's what I'm telling you. There's more to the kingdom of God than singing and preaching. It's about loving and sharing and encouraging and being with one another and being church. And I want to thank you all because you all do a lot of that. At the funeral home, I see a lot of you there. At the hospital, I see a lot of you there. When one's down, I see a lot of you what? There. That's called church. Be there. Be in there. Be with that. Be in that. God is good. So get rid of bitterness. I'm telling you, it kills you. Quit predicting on others what only God knows. The third one is this. Love. An unloving heart leads to a very limited life. Can y'all remember that? They got love through it. They got love through it. So, well, Pastor Stephen makes me mad. I love through it. I can't believe this happened. Believe it. Believe it. Are you all convinced now that anything can happen at any time? How many of y'all are that far along? Okay, you better watch this. Kathy Williams, one of our beloved members here. Christmas afternoon, lost her life right out here on the parkway. She was here Christmas Eve service. She was here Christmas Day. In fact, I hugged her at 8 o'clock in the morning. I said, Kathy and Larry, I'm just so glad that y'all are here. I said, you've been through, they were with me at Barren River. I said, you've just been through all these years. It's amazing. And she's in heaven by that afternoon. And guess what? We were at the hospital and everybody came by and I said, Steve, you tell us every Sunday, but it's at moments like this we understand now why you tell us every Sunday. Anything can happen at any time. That's just reality. I'm not being morbid. I'm telling you the what. anytime. So you know what? Here's what it means. We don't have time to prepare to be on. We just need to be on. How many of y'all want God catching you something, doing something good? In fact, here's what Kathy's husband said. They was checking him out. I walk in the hospital room, and he said, "Pastor Steve," he said, "Rev," she went home. He said, "We all got to go," and she left on a pretty good weekend. She'd been in church all weekend. That's a pretty good weekend to leave on. And I thought to myself, I wonder what God will catch me doing. Ooh. There's some things I don't want God to catch me doing. How many of y'all like that? You know? In fact, I'd like to die preaching. That's one of my closest times to God. I still don't want to die when I'm in my truck on Scottsville Road in a traffic jam. So I'll be on my way up going, "Lord, now I really didn't mean that, you understand? But the Lord saved me." Watch this. I hear from God and all kinds of crazy things. They put a new road out there to Scottsville Road. Even Allen County people know how to travel on this road with speed. Sheriff, I mean, within the limit. You know what? That road totally bypassed all the chaos. I was driving down that road the other day, and I was like, man, this is so nice. And it dawned on me. Guess what a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ does? It bypasses, surpasses my chaos so I can get into God's reality. God made a way to get past our junk into His glory. Isn't that good news? God wants to be with what? You and me and the world. So I'm going to ask you to do something. Lose those three things. If you got bitterness, lose it today at the altar. If you got a, you always want to tell somebody what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to be, and how it's supposed to turn out. Lose your prediction and take up God's possibility. And love through it. You got it? If you got an unloving heart, get rid of that unloving heart. It's not going to do you good. How many of you all have not liked somebody? How far did it get you? Now, ladies, I'm telling you what, it's putting wrinkles on your head that Botox won't take off. When y'all get mad at each other, you know what I mean? Everybody watch it. Hey, have y'all ever gone to a nursing home and see those people like, that didn't start at the nursing home. That started one disappointment by one disappointment by one disappointment by one bitterness by one anger by one anger. And see, here's the problem is nobody gets out. Because the Bible says you reap what you sow. So if you sow misery, you end in misery. If you sow joy, you end in what? And have y'all been in a nursing home? You see those folks that are aged and they've lost half their mind and they're just full of what? Joy. That'll be me. Are we there yet, Lord? You know, have the choir come in. Can y'all sing some Led Zeppelin? And they'll go, "That's crazy, old man." Somebody go, "He's been crazy all his life." You reap what you... So don't sow bitterness and don't sow a prediction and don't sow an unloving spirit. Sow what? Sow. Joy. Sow God's possibility. Sow in love and see what God does this year. Now let me show you what Paul said. Let me give you the rhythm. Go to verse 13. And we end on this today. I want to give you a rhythm. Paul said, "I know that I haven't obtained all that God has given me. First of all, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." But he knows God's taking hold of him. "But one thing I do. But one thing I what?" Now that sounds like I got to participate in this. Okay? God saves me freely. But I gotta take hold of that that's taking hold of me. Does that make sense? "But one thing I do." Now listen, let's get this rhythm. We're coming to the altar. "Forgetting what is." "And straining toward what? Heaven." So here's what he does. "I press on." I what? So I call you in the name of Jesus to press on, to move toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. See, I don't want to go forward in the new year. I want to go what? Heavenward. How many of y'all need to go heavenward? Heavenward. In Christ who? Jesus. Happy New Year. And you know what he says? All of us who are mature, note this word, all of us who are mature should take a view of these things. So it's time for some of y'all to move up, grow up. You got it? Next week, we're going to talk about come in. But right now, we're just going to talk about this. Move. How many of y'all need to move? Now, I hope you don't move out. I hope you stay here and move heavenward. But it's going to take some work to move. How many of y'all take some work to move? In fact, a few years back, Elizabeth and I were thinking about, maybe we need to move closer to town. Da, 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 da. I went through my house and I called the deal off. Richard, you know why I called the deal off? Because we had to move. I said, honey, if we can just sell this house like it is, junk and everything, they take it like it is and we go. She goes, what? I said, I don't want to move all this stuff. And you know, sometimes we like that in our lives, aren't we? Lord, I know I got this stuff. It's bagging, you know, it's holding me back. These things kind of weighting me down, but I just don't want to move them. Okay, well, that's fine. Then ask God to move them out of the way. But when he starts moving stuff, what? Don't go get it. How many of y'all like to keep stuff that's useless? Now, my wife, she throw everything away. She throw me away if I don't anchor myself down in a room. But I mean, she opened my closet. She does this at the end of every year. She starts opening people's closets. And I told her, that's my closet. It's my closet. She opened it up. She said, you know, you got some shirts in here. I said, I know. I said, let me tell you what I'm leaving those for. In case I ever get that size again, I'll have something to wear. You know what she said? You need to move them on out of here. Now, see, that's doubting people right there. That's what I'm talking about. She said, honey, Blake can't even wear those shirts. I said, I know, but who knows? I might get that size again. She said, you ain't ever going to be that size again. She said, those shirts are out of style. I said, honey, ain't nothing out of style if you keep it long enough. I said, look at these leggings. You wore those back in the 80s, and here they are back. Yeah. Everybody looks like they're in the 80s now. Y'all thought y'all was hip. You ain't hip. You're 80s. Just gas prices. You can't afford to have a big car. That's why you run around in a foreign car with a motorcycle muffler on the back thinking it's a hot rod. 80s. Guess what? Things circle around. But you know what? I mean, I hadn't thrown those shirts away yet, but really, guess what I need to do? I need to give them to somebody who can wear them. Like somebody that weighs 140 pounds. Because you know what, Scott? Elizabeth's probably right on that one. That ain't coming back. Jeb and I said, honey, how do you think I can't? Well, I said, why do you think I won't ever wear those clothes again? She said, because I see the size of that Snicker jar beside your chair. Crazy, isn't it? We got to lose some things. Just those three. If you just work on those three. Lose that bad attitude. Lose that bitterness. Quit being mad at whoever it is. Guess what? And it's not doing you any good. It's the first thing you don't understand is my mom. Well, just love her. Mothers make mistakes. Have y'all realized that? Daddies do too. People mess up, but God comes through. Remember that. Always. Let's move heavenward, church. We're going to take it that way. Y'all cool with that? Thank y'all for being here today, man. Thank y'all for being here every Sunday. Y'all are faithful folks. I see a lot of you visiting your moms and dads stuff. Thanks for doing that. That's crucial. That's crucial. Mr. Jackson, it's always an honor to have your family with us, as it is an honor to have you and Ms. Jackson with us always. We thank God for the privilege of what you've taught this congregation. And I appreciate every one of you. Dan, I even love you, and you're an adamant UK fan. I mean, you're an obnoxious UK fan, but we are brothers in Christ. Amen? I love it. We can joke. People always laugh. They say, Sheriff, what do you think about that preacher picking on you? Well, I owe the sheriff a lot of back taxes on picking on, let me tell you. But guess what? It's called living together and loving together and living this life together. Now, if you want this life of love, guess what? You got to make a first step today. I tell you what, today's a good day to get saved. What do y'all think? I mean, I don't know a bad day, but this is a good day. First of the year, what? Get saved. So, Pastor Steve, I don't know about. I'm going to help you. Your resume, I don't care how good it is, will never be good enough to get into heaven. Now, do you understand the gospel? Now, I know some of y'all think you're VIP. You think God's going to be sitting there, you know, St. Pete's going to have the rope on and you won't in the house. Or to break it down to some of you young folk, you won't in the club. And you're going to go up there and he's holding the Lamb's Book of Life and guess what? Your name's not on there. And you're going to show him your American Express card. You might even have a black one. $1 million worth of credit. Anybody that carries a card around with $1 million worth of debt on it, that is not a smart person. We can't buy what God can give. Y'all tracking me here? But guess what? If you know the name, then they'll know your name. The name is Jesus. And today, guess what? Some of you, for the first time, what a great way to start a forever new year. Lord Jesus, come into my what? Life. Wow. God, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my what? You reckon that'll take care of bitterness, predictability, and an unloving heart? Think so. Lord Jesus, come into my what? Life. And you know what we're really saying? Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sin so I might receive your life. And here's the cool thing I like about Jesus' life, Trish. It never dies, honey. Here's the problem with my resume. It will die. Watch this. 60 years from now, nobody will even know I pastored this church. Quicker than that. As soon as I retire, guess what? Nobody will know I was here. That's why I've always kept that in perspective. Titles fade. Relationships last. True? Yeah. But guess what lasts forever? A permanent relationship with Christ. Lord Jesus, come into my what? Life. Forgive me of my what? Sin. Come into who? Me. What's God going to do? And he'll be changing you over and over and over and over and over forever. Now, if you haven't got baptized yet, do you think first year would be a good thing? Good time to take care of that? Everybody's been asking me. Apparently, the media says the mines, or somebody says this is the last year to live. Isn't that right? It's supposed to be 212 or 220, or at least they got a movie out of the deal. So sometimes people ask me, of course, Pastor Steve, you think it's the last day? I said, it's the last day for somebody. Am I not telling the truth? Everybody has a judgment day. It's the last day every day for somebody. Guess what I know I'm going to have out there in the future? A last day. But here's good news. Only because of Jesus Christ, I have no last days. So I have a transition date. I don't know when it is. I don't want to know when it is. I'm crazy enough now. I'd probably try to prepare for it. But you know what I found? If you live every day in the Lord, you ain't got to worry about no last days. The only people that are scared about the end of time are those who've got a bad result when it happens. If you're saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, why are you worried about the end of days? So, Pastor Steve, you believe we'll be raptured or this? I don't know. I know Jesus is coming back and it'll all be done. Let me tell you what I do know. If you're in Jesus Christ, you're all right. And if you're not in Jesus Christ, you're in a hell of a lot of trouble. Is everybody clear? I don't know how to make any clearer than that. Now, here's good news. And God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He died on a cross. He rose from the grave. His name is Jesus, and he'll receive anybody so you can be made heavenward. I think that's a good plan. Amen? That'll work in 2012. Hello? Hello? So in 2012, what's everybody going to do? That is so weak, I'm going to hold the 11 o'clock and do this whole service over again. In 2012, what are we going to do? Move. Good. Listen, it's okay to speak. Listen, I know y'all think I'm going to mellow. I am not going to mellow. Now, I can't be high energy as long as I used to be, but I still got high energy. It just dies quicker than it used to die. You know what? We're still on one mission to tell this world about Jesus Christ before we all get out of here. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Before I know it, we'll be in spring football again. I'll be giving the same speech. Tackle. Block that wins football games. Doesn't sound exciting, does it? But it's true. The basics win. Here's the foundation. Cross, resurrection. Everything shapes around it. Everything. So let's stand together and let's move. Let's pray for some folks. Guess what? There's some people today that are going to receive Jesus Christ. As our pastors come forward, new year. All right, y'all lock in. Lock in. Come on. You're good. Everybody looks good. Y'all stayed awake last night. You saw Dick Clark. What do you think about Dick? He's still alive. That's cool. I remember him on American Bandstand when he could dance. But you know what? Everybody's got a day. This is a great day for you to receive Jesus. Pray with me right now. Lord, your beautiful people have gathered in this new year to worship Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you just know Jesus is drawing you forward right now, you feel that Holy Spirit moving you, tell him, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. You just tell him that right now. Just tell him that right now. Lord, I believe you died on the cross. You've risen from the grave. And Lord, I ask you to come into my life. Now, if you've made that confession of faith, you know that you've repented of your sins. You don't want to any longer live like you used to live. You want God to forgive you, and you've asked him to. Then come talk to one of our pastors. Because the next step of obedience to that is baptism as a sign of God's sealing in your life. God's seal in your life. So I just ask you to come right now. Come and pray for God's movement. If you got those three things, there's a lot more things to lose, but those three we're dealing with today. Bitterness, leave it. Leave it in the old year. Say, God, put it on the cross. I'm done with being bitter. Quit predicting and say, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you no matter what you do, Lord. Hey, there's no telling what you might do. I'm going to follow. And man, if you're unloving, ask God to just create a loving sense in you today. In the name of Jesus, church, we have the privilege in 2012 to say the same thing we did last year. Would you come and receive Jesus? Would you be baptized? Would you allow the Holy Spirit to heal you? Will you be filled with the power and the passion of God? It is unstoppable. Now, right now, I'm able to say that without being arrested. Right now. Y'all pray for the day that they want to come in here and shut me up, because that'll be on the front page of the paper. Because Pastor Reynolds, you're a pretty big boy. You can still block at least once. We're still going to preach no matter what they say. Because you know what I know? This is, and my confidence is in Christ, not in me, not in this church, not in this system, but in Christ. I know this. Nobody can shut Jesus up. Hang him on the cross. He'll talk on the other side of the tomb. Put him in jail. He'll get loose. Nobody will shut Jesus up. You know why? Our resume is not strong enough. His is forever. His is heavenward. Ours is earthward. Receive his heaven. In the name of Jesus, this altar's open. Y'all come right now. As they sing, y'all, as you make your way forward, just let God touch you. Come and pray for a blessed new year. Bring your families. Bring your loved ones. Bring those that don't know Christ. Bring those that need to be baptized. Let's just let God have a wonderful time with us this new year. Come on. Thank you for coming. Come on. Don't stand there today. Let God just move in a deep way, a passionate way in your life. Lord, right now we pray for all of our Bible study teachers, our leaders, those who love you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.